Good morning. Open your Bibles with me if you would. We're going to be in the book of Samuel. I know your Bible has probably 1 Samuel and then 2 Samuel. And remember, originally the books of Samuel were all one book. So were the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles. The book of Ezra and Nehemiah was one book. And when they put in the chapters and verses into our Bibles, they kind of separated them because, well, we really just won't read that much. You know, J.R.R. Tolkien, when he wrote the Lord, when he wrote the Lord of the Rings, it was all one book. And the publisher said, "We will not publish something that's bigger than the Bible." And even in the Bible, they divided it up into different books to make it easier for people to read. And so they published it in three. And a lot of times, we need that catalyst. We need that encouragement. It's only a little book. It's only a little bit. So these 20 are high when you're angry or any other time that you're just in sin. You can't make good decisions. How many of you know this from experience? How many of you have ever gotten drunk? Anybody? How many of you thought when you were drunk, "I can drive"? Because you thought that you were fine. You thought that there was no problems at all. And everybody else around you is like, "That's stupid. Take his keys by force." Right? You can't even stand. How are you going to walk? "No, once I get to the car, I'll be fine." That's what sin does to us. When we're bitter, angry, frustrated in any kind of sin, you know what happens? We think we're fine. We think that what we're doing is okay. And we think we can handle things. We think that we're going to make it through just fine. But we're so drunk on sin that we're just going to kill ourselves. So if your heart's messed up today, don't do anything. Don't make any major decisions. Don't do anything. Stop. Pray. Ask for forgiveness. Ask God to give you a new heart. David killed, he killed Uriah. He stole his wife Bathsheba. He had a kid with her. He lied about it. All this other stuff. And you know what? Before David could go on, he went before the Lord and he wrote this: "Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of your salvation and renew a right spirit within me." That needs to be your prayer before you make any major decisions, before you do anything that's going to affect other people, before you go out there. And if you're in sin, that needs to be your prayer today. Don't do anything until you get that taken care of, because you will make stupid choices. Like, "Bring me the bed with the sick guy on it so I can kill it." Why don't you just go over there and kill him in his bed? Obviously, you don't care. It's far. It's like the next room. I didn't want to walk. I mean, seriously? This guy is not making good choices at all. At all. Maybe today you're not making good choices. You need to say, "God, fix my heart so I can make better choices." So David trusted his wife. And what did trusting his wife do? Well, they lied. And they got into idolatry. Now, trusting your wife isn't the problem. It's trusting in people in general. Listen, in your marriage, there are a lot of people when they come to marriage counseling and they tell me, "Pastor, my husband," or "Pastor, my wife," or "Pastor this, pastor that." Let me just tell you something real quick. Don't wait for your spouse to change. Don't do it. Change. You change. You be different. Men, dwell with your wives with understanding. That's what the Bible says. Men, love your wives. Doesn't matter if they deserve it. Doesn't matter if they're loving you. You love them. You provide for them. You dwell with them with understanding. It means stay at home. You don't sleep in another room or another building. You dwell with them, not somewhere else, with them. And with understanding. Ladies, respect your husbands. Honor them. Do what's right. Do what's honorable. And whether he deserves it or not, it's not about him. It's about you and your relationship with God and what God has called you to do. And God will deal with him on God's own time. But your responsibility is for yourself and your marriage and for yourself before the Lord. Don't wait for other people to change. Don't expect your spouse to change. Don't expect others, "Well, I'm trusting my husband to fix this because I don't know what," hey, why don't you start praying? Why don't you lift him up in prayer? Why don't you be respectful? Why don't you be kind and gentle and do him good and not evil all the days of his life? Guys, why don't you treat her like your spouse and honor her and love her? And why don't you spend time with her and dwell with her with understanding and listen to when she talks to you and treat her like the jewel that she is? You see, this is where we can start focusing on ourselves. I can't fix you guys, but I can fix myself. And if you're in a difficult situation or if you're dealing with difficult people, don't trust them. Don't wait for them. You work on you. See, David went and he trusted in someone else, and that other person convinced him to compromise. Let's go get an idol. I don't think it was really in David's house. I think they got it. They borrowed it from a neighbor, and they put an idol in the bed, went and they concoct a lie, and his wife lies, and that lie ended up making Michael be given in marriage to another person. Remember, later, Saul's going to take Michael and give her to another man as a wife. You know why? Because Michael told Saul that David threatened to kill her, which was a lie. And that lie cost David his marriage. Think about it. Don't trust in people. David could have gone before the Lord. Lord, you've always gotten me out of this. What do you want me to do? But he didn't do that. He's starting to let his faith waver, and he's starting to focus on himself. The last thing David does is he trusts Samuel. That's probably the smartest thing, humanly speaking, he could have done, because Samuel is a prophet. David probably should have gone to Samuel a lot sooner. Hey, Samuel, remember how you anointed me king over Israel? What were you thinking? That would have been me. What's going on here? At least he could have gotten some wisdom. You know, if you're having an issue, go to the Lord. If you're getting frustrated and you're not hearing the Lord, talk to a pastor. Talk to me. Talk to Pastor Tim. Get counseling. But trusting in all these people, once again, all I'm going to tell you to do is what? Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's what I'm going to tell you to do, and I'm going to help you do that. But David, he goes to Samuel. So David fled and he escaped, and he went to Samuel at Ramah, told him all that Saul had done to him. Now, I love the way that Samuel handles this. David is trusting in Samuel, and Samuel's like, dude, you're trusting in the wrong person. So check this out. This is really funny. And he said to Samuel, went down and stayed at Naoth, and it was told Saul, saying, no, take note, David is at Naoth in Ramah. And so Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the group of prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. Now this is really cool. Saul sends henchmen down there to take David, and what happens? They start prophesying. Now what? If you send an enemy and they became a friend. So if you think you have an enemy, convert them. Try that. Never forget my sister. She moved out of the house when she was 18. She came back a few months later when she ran out of money and friends. And she had this boyfriend named Travis. I'm like, Dad, you want me to take care of it? My dad's like, no. Travis, that first Saturday that he came over to pick her up to go out in the afternoon, he got there and my sister, of course, wasn't ready. And so Travis and my dad went into his office there at the house and they talked like an hour. He came out smiling and happy, and I'm like, what'd you say? Nothing. Next week, Travis got there early. My sister's like, you're early. You're not supposed to be here for another half an hour. He's like, yeah, I came to talk to your dad. What? They talked. Long story short, Travis received the Lord, became a missionary, went to the mission field. My sister dumped him like a bad habit. My dad had a good idea there. Don't try to defeat him. Convert him. My sister couldn't stand a guy who was a Christian. Worked awesome. Guy still follows the Lord, still goes to church. It's really cool. You have an enemy out there? Share the gospel with them. Convert them. Stop fighting them. God doesn't have you there to fight them. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and darkness, all that other stuff. If you have a problem with somebody, take them Jesus. You want to change your husband? Love him. You want to change your wife? Share the word with her. You want to change your kids? Share Jesus with them. Don't send them to college. Give them to Jesus. Whether they go to college or not is irrelevant. I don't care. I tell people, if you want to go to college, go to college. You don't want to go to college, don't go to college. Find Jesus first. Find Jesus first. The best gift that you can give anybody you ever knew was Jesus. Do that. So David goes to Samuel. He's like, what do I do? And he's standing there, and all these henchmen come up, and Samuel's like, God's got this. And they start prophesying. So what does Saul do? And so when Saul was told, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. It's like, they can't get anybody out there to kill David. Finally, Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied likewise. So Saul, then he also went to Ramah. So here's Saul, right? Like, you want to get something done, you got to do it yourself. Okay? No one's going to convert me. No one's going to stop me. Now, that's true. Saul had a hard heart. So God, he puts a spirit of prophecy upon Saul. It's interesting, not all prophets, just because someone prophesies doesn't mean that they belong to the Lord. I want you to remember that. Look at this. So where's Samuel and David? And someone said, oh, they're down at Naoth and Ramah. So he went there to Naoth and Ramah. And the Spirit of God was on him also. And he went on and he prophesied until he came to Naoth and Ramah. So the whole way there, he's just prophesying the whole time. Then what happens? He also stripped off all of his clothes and prophesied before Saul naked. It's getting weird. Now they're thinking, man, this guy is nuts. God not only showed that he was even king over Saul, but he humbled Saul in the sight of all people. Remember David's wife, when David was dancing, he showed his underwear. She said, oh, you're becoming so unbecoming. He's showing everybody your underwear. And he's like, I'll be even more unbecoming than this. David wasn't worried about what he looked like. He was worried about worshiping the Lord. He's a little Pentecostal there. However, I want you to think about this. When Saul went to prophesy, why did God strip him naked? To humble him. No one thought that Saul was cool after that. They all saw that God was humbling him, humiliating him as the king. Disgraceful, naked in front of everybody. On the floor, writhing, prophesying. Not in a good, uplifting, look at Saul, he's so great, he's so awesome. God wanted to make sure that Saul knew, I'm your king, you're going to prophesy, you're going to do what I tell you to do, number one. And number two, these people are going to know that I control everything about you. You can't do anything without my permission. And what you're doing is wrong. This should have been a wake-up call for Saul, like it was for Nebuchadnezzar. Remember when God did this to Nebuchadnezzar? He went insane for 7 years and he was eating grass like a cow in the book of Daniel. But it wasn't. So he laid down naked all that day and all that night. So here's Saul on the ground naked prophesying. Everybody's just like, what's going on with this guy? And there goes Samuel and David, and they just walk away. Samuel never talked to Saul. Never talked to Saul. He didn't lift a finger, didn't worry. He's just standing there. Look at that guy. God's got a sense of humor, by the way. And then, therefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? You know why it's a question? Because he wasn't very prophet-like. He's prophesying. He's weird. Is he really among the prophets? Choose your battles. Don't fight people. Don't fight your spouse. Don't fight your kids. Don't fight your husband. Don't fight your wife. Don't fight the Lord. If God is prompting you today to do something, to change something, then change. God is asking you to adjust something, then adjust. If somebody else is doing something towards you that you don't like, love them. Do good to them and not evil. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who persecute you. And if you do that, your heart will be right. If you do that, you'll be on track and God can use you in a mighty way like he's going to use David. Don't turn to people for your salvation. Turn to the Lord and watch what he will do for you. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you, we thank you that you've loved us so much that you've given us, even us with all of the wicked and evil things that we've done in our lives, you have given us so many opportunities for grace and mercy. Father, that you are loving and kind, gentle, long-suffering, Father. Slow to wrath, quick to forgive. And today, Father, I believe that you've called us all today to repent and to turn to you and to love you with all of our hearts and to give you all that we have. And as we come before you, we pray that, Lord, you would use this time to adjust our hearts and to cleanse our lives and our minds. And as we come before you, we pray that you would just take today and make us lights shining in the darkness instead of dark smudges on a bright wedding feast. So, Father, today, convince, rebuke, exhort. And as we serve you today, Lord, that you would just guide our hearts and our lives. So we thank you for who you are. And as we come together in this final song, Lord, we pray that you would just receive our worship as we pour out our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.